Welcome to Sunday Night, There Is a Solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you will find the audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions of the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please welcome Kathy C. from Montreal, a compulsive overeater. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you, Sen. And thank you, Jessica, for inviting me here to speak today. I hope my audio is okay. Do you hear me? If you need for me to speak louder, just ask. Thank you. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm happy to say I am a recovered compulsive overeater for today because my big book tells me that's what I am here today, as long as I keep spiritually fit, right? So it's been 4.5 years since I haven't hurt myself with food. And it's a long history of eating and not eating. So I want to talk a little bit about why I came to OA. And I believe a lot of you would assume we probably came here all for the same reasons, right? At a certain point, I wanted to stop and I couldn't. I wanted to have all this, you know, obsession with food, with my body, my weight, gone, done with. I was ready. I really wanted it to end. I was waking up miserable. For me, it began in my mid-30s. I decided I would do a diet, just like my sister-in-law. She did a diet, you know, and she looked well. She was confident, and she was happy, and I wanted that too. So I tried the diet, and it was a, you know, no carb or low carb diet, and it worked, right? Like all diets work as long as you follow it. So then I wasn't able to follow it. You know, life was happening. I had gotten laid off from my job. I remember being bored, just being home, being bored, and just walking into the pantry and closing the pantry. I wasn't really hungry, but I started to snack. And so then this is how it all began for me. It was this fight against food. My relationship with food was injurious, and it was painful. It left me, you know, hopeless. And I tried to get back to that ideal weight. And I tried. So the harder I tried to diet, the worse I got. You know, usually when you practice something, let's say swimming or diving, you apply yourself, right? You gain strength, you gain momentum, you gain speed. The opposite was happening with me. I was getting worse and worse and worse. And the regret, the remorse after every binge. And then so I'd have to starve, and then I would eat again. So I was on a cycle of a 3-day binge, 3-day, you know, starvation. And this went on for at least 10 years. And I was baffled, and I didn't understand what was happening with me. And I thought, you know what, just let's apply yourself. Like, so I would pay someone to give me a plan of eating. It was actually like a fitness bikini model plan of eating, right? If you're gonna pay for something that's that's gonna probably earn you, you know, that status. And that's I really wanted, just to be thin. But I knew something else was going on inside my head. I knew that was. It was like, how can it be I'm so obsessed all of a sudden? You know, growing up until mid-30, you know, I had this thing with food. But nothing like I was experienced, you know, from, let's say, age 35 to about 45. And then I was speaking with a friend, and her too, by her own, you know, her own honesty said, "You know, Kathy, we are like the alcoholic. You know, when it comes to sugar, we are like the alcoholic with alcohol." So I Googled sugar addiction, and OA came up. It was a meeting. It wasn't Weight Watchers. There was nothing to pay. So just walked in, or actually, I just walked in, and she couldn't make it that night. She said, "Kathy, I can't make it. You know, go and tell me how it is." And so my first meeting on a Thursday night, I walked into the room and someone said to me, "Are you here for the choir?" Because it was at the basement of a church. I was like, "No, I'm here for OA." You know, because I didn't, I only had maybe 20 pounds to lose. So I guess for that person, you know, for her it was like, "Oh, what's 20 pounds?" I was still struck by that. And so the first meeting, I cried, I cried, I cried. I was so overcome. People were talking my language. People were talking about what they did with food. You know, the hiding, the stealing, the lying. It would just be my normal way of life, just like it says in the doctor's opinion. I couldn't tell the true from the false. I was so, you know, entangled with my own way of doing things versus what I knew it was gonna be painful, right? Injurious, they say in the big book, but I still couldn't stop. I would always be brought there. And I was like, "How did you do this again?" Right? We like there's like a committee in here sometimes. So it's like I know I wanted to eat well. I knew right from wrong. Here I am raising my two adolescent kids. I have a loving husband. I have a lovely home. We even got a little dog, and you know, everything was perfect. So perfect on the outside, but on the inside I felt dead. I felt lonely and I felt ashamed. That was the worst. You know, in the big book, Bill, right? He calls it the pity. I wish I knew the words, but it'll come to me later, of course. Thank you, menopause. But you know, that's how I felt. I was like so distraught. So I started with the big book. No, sorry, started with the meetings. And that meeting, it was a group discussion meeting. So everybody would talk about their week and their highs and their lows. And I really wasn't getting any better. And that happened for a year. And I had asked someone to be my sponsor, but she just stopped, you know, returning my calls. She didn't come in the rooms anymore. And I'm like, "Well, I guess this is how it works. We try to help." And so I suffered again another year and a half until finally, I was also listening to an online meeting. It's in the US, and it's a popular one. I don't know, some of you are probably familiar with it, A Vision for You. And there I heard some hardcore abstinence. And I'm like, "These women scare me. How can you never ever have, like, you know, I don't know, chocolate again?" I go, "That's insane." You know, I said, I that's not for me." But I would call every day. I would be listening every day, and like, "No, I like the I'm different. I only have 20 pounds. I'm not that bad. My life's not that bad. I'm okay. I just gotta, like, you know, get that right diet, right? Because skinny was the way for me. I needed to be thin, and then I would be happy." There I go, continuing again, still eating again against my will, and I chose all the time to stop, and there I was again. I have no choice. I have no control once I start. And I have no power. I have no power to change this. So what happened, right? How did I eventually get a power, right? A higher power, not my own power, because my willpower, I have so much willpower. I tried every day, "We're gonna do this." And I was really hard on myself. You know, I really beat myself up every day. And that was the worst part. So there was this a woman who I spoke with on the phone, an outreach call, and she said, "So how are you doing with your 10 steps?" And so I had worked the steps with the sponsor, but I just did the inventory, and then I just, you know, I I don't want to say I drifted, but I was, above the water. I wasn't drowning. I thought I was doing okay. But I knew there was something else missing. And I always believe that was my higher power trying to speak to me, get through to me, that intuitive thought we had. And so here I am always, trying to get as much as I can from other recovered members. And so she said, "How are your 10 steps?" And I said, "Oh, well, I do them in the morning." And she's like, "No, that's not really a 10th step." So she says, "Go to page 84, page 85, read the page 84." And it says, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, "Oh." She goes, "Yeah." So we started talking, and I asked her to be my sponsor. And so she helped me. She helped me do the steps in a different way. She was part of that meeting as well, a Vision for You meeting. And again, I thought everything was fine up until she says, "You know what? I'm leaving this group and I'm going to another group. And in that, and if you want me to sponsor you, well, you'd have to follow me to that group. And that group, we don't talk about food."
20
I
minutes
said,
left.
"See what? 10 minutes,
20
thank you.
minutes.
20 minutes." I said, "What do you mean we don't talk about food?" She goes, "No, we don't talk about food. It's about the work and the steps and that, mental obsession will leave you. You have to work with others." And so I followed her because I didn't want to be alone. All I knew was this. And so what happened? I went back into the food. Eventually, I went back into the food. There I am, eating chocolate and then trying to help someone. And I'm like, this is like, I don't know, something's not right. And she's like, "Well, you have to do this, you have to do this." So I said, I started a meeting. I started a meeting. We had a nice little group meeting Saturday mornings. And I thought I was okay again until, oh, I ate again. Oh, what was on my mind? What happened? Was it an argument? Was it this? Were you sad? Were you angry? It was anything. Happy, sad, glad, mad. It didn't have to be my birthday or Christmas. It was like, Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. That's how it was. It will always be. I always ended up eating. It will always be about the food. Once I make it always about the food. So I stayed there for 3 years with her. That didn't work out. Finally, I had the courage to leave and to go back again to, back to people where I felt they had recovery and an abstinence, right? So abstinence is refraining from compulsively eating while maintaining, a healthy body weight. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to abstain from compulsively eating. I didn't want that anymore. And so I did find a sponsor. And well, I had a couple of sponsors, but I'm just going to bring you up to speed to 2020. At this point, I thought I was recovered. Well, I was recovered. I was doing well. And then there was a sickness in my family. My son fell ill. And then I remember from July to October, right? It's like the dimmer switch. I was going, lower and lower into the darkness. I didn't realize it was happening because it happens so slowly to me. And so I started to work less with others, right? That's my step what, 12. I started to pray less and meditate. That's my step 11. I wasn't watching out for where I was resentful, afraid, right? Selfish. And then I wasn't really making any amends when I harmed anyone. That's my step 9. And step 8, well, I couldn't really bother with anybody. I was very self-centered. And so I didn't ask God to remove any of those defects. I wasn't willing to look at them, right? That's my 6 and 7. And so I was never talking about myself or asking help, right? My inventory, the personal inventory. I didn't do that. And then clearly I didn't turn my will and my life over to God, like on my step 3, like I had decided that was non-existent. So there's not going to be a God. There's not going to be a God if I don't, go to this God. And of course I become powerless again over food. My life is unmanageable. I cannot manage those decisions. I cannot manage whatever's going on, my thinking, my heart. I was just, pushing all that to the side, which I didn't realize up until I took that first compulsive bite again. And I said, what did you just do? What happened? Opening the fridge, just grabbing stuff, and just it was compulsive, 1,000% compulsive. It was not out of hunger, it was not out of. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. We're gonna, whatever. We're just gonna forget about it. We're gonna pretend like. And so then it didn't. It went on for 3 months. Brings me up to 2020 here, COVID. COVID, I know, brought a lot of pain, and a lot of people suffered. But the only one thing, great thing I can say is that I did found recovery in that time. For me, that silver lining, that's the only great thing that came out of that COVID period for myself. So I met the sponsor, and she's like, you're gonna pray and meditate 30 minutes a day. And your plan of eating, I want to know what you eat. And if you don't like your plan of eating, I'm going to give you a plan of eating. And I want you to eat this. And I want you to, and I was like, oh my God, I'm okay. I said, okay. I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so I did the prayer and meditation in the morning. And that was the best suggestion she could have made. That saved my life. This relationship with power that I'm building, that I was building, is the solution. And it also tells me in the big book, this is the idea, that spiritual awakening. So, Dr. Young says that right on page 27. The only way, the alcoholics, exceptions to cases just like mine, to stop compulsively eating, right, are called vital spiritual experiences. So what does that mean? These occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of my life, are suddenly cast to one side. And a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate me. And this is what a spiritual experience was for me. I had to have a relationship with power. God, higher power, it doesn't matter, spiritual energy, all it is it's not me. So I asked God, and I continued to ask God, just like it says on page 86 on awakening, what did I have to do? I have to ask God to direct my thinking, not for me to be abstinent. He wants me, this power already, I wants me to be abstinent. That's me, to know my body, to know my truth. So I have to have a plan of eating, eliminating all those foods which create an allergy of the body for me. I want more. Never satisfied, only intensifies. I don't get the same effect from certain foods like I do with others. And I had to be clear with that. And so my plan of eating, whatever I eat, is void of that, just like rat poison, just like dog food. I don't eat that stuff. And I have no desire. That's the miracle of the program. That is the miracle. I don't know how. I do know how, but it's been 4.5 years where I have no desire to eat any, certain foods. I don't believe it myself, but it has happened. It has happened. That obsession has been removed from me. I am responsible for doing my prayer and meditation in the morning. That's what I had to do. Half an hour, she said to me. And I started. And at the beginning, it was very uncomfortable, very awkward. See, my old belief of God was of a Santa Claus. I never felt, worthy of this higher power or the God that I thought was up there, heaven, like a Santa Claus. I thought I had to be good already. And then, of course, I'd be okay. I couldn't be a saint. So why would God care? Why? He has children that are suffering and people who are dying and wars going on. He's going to care about the size of my whatever? No, he won't. He's got bigger fish to fry. So I had to rethink all of this. And I was just asking for God's will, his knowledge. That's all I need to pray for. Step 11 tells us all I need to do is pray for what? For knowledge of his will. I don't pray for sunshine. I don't pray for my son not to be sick, or my in-laws not to be. That's begging. That's not. I need God to pray. I need to pray for God's knowledge for his will for me. Who am I to help today? Who am I to serve today? What am I to do? And throughout the day, when things happen, disturbances come up, I know I need to go to this higher power. I'm drawn to it now. I can be angry for 5 minutes, even sometimes 5 hours. And then it's like, okay. And I need to pause, and I need to ask. I need to ask God, help me see this clearly. Help me see this as it is, not as I seeing it. You know, so all that unmanageability, all this thinking, all this prayer and meditation is because my step one tells me I am powerless over food, that my life is unmanageable. That's the biggest kept secret in the 12-step rooms, right? That unmanageability. I was so hyper-focused on food, you know, the thinness and just abstinence. I'd be happy. I'd be, you know, relieved from, you know, what I'm really suffering from, but I wasn't. Abstinence just relieves me of the body of wanting to eat more and chasing food. So my body is calm. I have a plan of eating. So I'm not going back and forth. Should I eat it? Shouldn't I eat it?
10-minute
How
warning,
much?
10 minutes.
Thank you. So I don't have that dialogue in my head. The relationship with food is sane. Now, the most insane thing I could do today is not do my prayer meditation during the day, is not continuing my step work that I was taught how to do an inventory, right? So once I decided to build this relationship with the higher power, I chose a solution of God, by praying and meditating, sitting half an hour every day, either by reading, writing, listening to podcasts, you know, spiritual speakers, writing things down. I went to workshops. And this fantastic workshop was during that year, 2020, and it was a year long. And I really understood the powerlessness. You see, I thought I was just, I don't know, weak-willed or, you know, forgetful. Like maybe if I write it down and if I, you know, but actually, you know, powerlessness, you know, comes out of nowhere. It's like a white van coming in, taking me and just throwing me into the trunk of the truck. I didn't see it coming. That's how it would be for me. I didn't have that, oh, you know what? Let me think about it. Let me call someone. I didn't even have that. I didn't even have that pause. It would just happen. I had no power to stop the thoughts from coming in my mind, and then I would be reactive. So I saw that I will always be a compulsive overeater. And my only thing, my only salvation is a spiritual experience. So I embarked on this journey to build a relationship with power. Again, my morning prayer and meditation. I say this often because this is what helps me, helps, helped, and will help me. I had to get that plan of eating in order so the chatter shuts in my mind. And so now I was at you know, decision step three. It asks me, you know, now are you willing to turn your will in your life over to the care of this higher power? So my will and my life, well, my will is, what do you really want to do? You know, and your life is, what are the actions? Well, I really want freedom from the obsession. I want to have wonderful, you know, calm communication with my husband and my children. I want to be patient. I don't want to be afraid all the time. And those actions, well, I have to ask God, how can I be patient today? How can I improve my relationship? Who can I help, God? I want to help my children. Because I feel I you know, I, as a mom, as a caretaker, caregiver, how can I help them? Because this God cares for me and will protect me. And so I decided I will. And so I continued. And then I had to do inventory 4 to 9. I had to look, make a list of all the stuff that was, you know, that was in my mind and my heart. Why was I angry? Who I was angry at? And then I had to look at it from a different angle. What angle? God's point of view. God, how would you have me see this? Where am I selfish? How am I selfish? And so my sponsor helped me with the selfishness, the fear, self-seeking, dishonest thinking, thinking I know how it should be, they should do this. And the fear was, if they don't love me, all that stuff, all that had to be all done with God. I had to work with God and ask him to help me see it as he would help have me see it and call myself out. And so I had to continue, right? 4 to 9, I had to make amends. I did go make amends. And step 10, well, now I'm going to have to grow and become effective with this relationship with power because now I've entered the spiritual world. So I always keep checking myself. I continue. Where's the fear? Why am I being selfish? Why do I think I know how this should be or shouldn't be? Here I am playing the director. I'm doing God's job again, not my job. I need to be here. I need to work for God. God does not work for me. And so I have to do my prayer meditation so I can improve this conscious contact with God that loves me, protects me, wants me to be happy, happier more than I could even have done for myself. And the first miracle was taking away the obsession of the food. And the second one is improving my relationships. So I continue praying, meditating. And my step 12 is I have to carry this message, the message that God will save you. God, you need a spiritual experience. However you define God, that is between you and your higher power. And we all have it down deep inside. Down deep inside. And I have to just quiet the mind, open my heart, and have this power like downloaded. Now we all understand these terms, downloaded and being plugged in and being charged. Well, I do this daily and I work with others because it does prove to keep me immune. Because I can't live alone in my head. I have to keep this relationship with power. I have to be loud and proud. Like even in my personal life, I sometimes say, you know what, you have that intuition inside you. And I tell my kids this all the time whenever they come to me and they come to me, they ask me. And it's always, well, you know what, if you sit with it, the answers will come. You are already equipped. You have already inside you that intuitive thought. Quiet your mind to it. Make space, make time with that relationship because it's going to be the most important relationship you have. And it is the most important relationship I have, God. And then I have my children and my husband. If I don't have God, I don't have anything. So God is holding all of this up, not just myself. I am nothing without my family, right? And so I come to God. I try to do his will. I try to practice my practice. I remember that workshop that I did a whole year. I did learn a lot, and it took me that long. I think I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter. So I need to be this day in the daily. And so for me, the miracle has happened and it continues and it continues. I see God everywhere in my life. And especially in the rooms we meet fellows, and I'm sure you all have your story, you all have your God moment. And for those of you who are still suffering, who still doubt if there's a power, how is this gonna work? I just did it, and then the feelings came. I would never feel myself into that. I had to do the actions first, and then I started to believe, but I had to apply myself. I had to let God in. I had to be honest with God, just like I would be writing a letter or just, complaining to my best friend. I would just, have the conversation with a higher power. And that's how it grew. And then I would receive. And then during the day, I'd have these like, oh, let me do this. And oh, what about that? And still today, I'm very, very much, surprised that wow, it worked out. Who would have known? Here I am thinking, no, this is too big, even for God. This is too big. This will never, no. And then I just know, you know what? Do your 10th step. Just let someone else know. Ask, reach out, be of service, think of how you can help someone else. And it happens. And that's the beauty now. The best place I could be is not in my head. somewhere helping someone else. And that's why, I want to be of service. I think we have to, right? This is, it's our responsibility. We're here to, put someone's hand into God's hand. I think that's where our home is. That's where we live. I think this is really what we were after. It was never about the food. We might have food sensitivities, allergies, and phenomena as craving, but that could be, smashed. And so I'm open for for feedback, for comments. Reach out to me. I'm going to leave my number. I'm also available to sponsor. I'll leave my number in the chat. If I could be of service, please let me know. And thank you for letting me be of service today. Pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you for that wonderful share.